You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
All right, good morning, church. How are you doing this morning? Everybody doing great? Good to see you. Welcome. My name is Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, I know we have some first-time guests here this morning. Welcome especially to all of you. We're so glad you could be with us this morning. We are so excited you could be here because today we're kicking off a brand new series called The Miracles of Jesus, and it's going to be a great series over the next 4 weeks. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever needed a miracle? Anybody? I think we've all been there before. We've all prayed for a miracle before. How many of you, when you were in high school or college, ever showed up to class and you forgot you had a big test or an exam and you needed a miracle and you started praying quickly? Come on, have you been there before? How many of you husbands have ever forgotten your wife's birthday or your anniversary? We know you needed a miracle and you're still alive today, so you must have got one. I can tell you, if you move to Westchester and you want to start a church in a movie theater and you don't know anybody, you need a miracle. I've been there before. I can promise you, you need a miracle. But we've probably all been there before in a season of life where we needed a miracle. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to journey through the Gospels. We're going to explore some of the miracles of Jesus. And I'm so excited that our life groups are cranking back up for this spring cycle. Many of you are going to be discussing and studying these miracles together in your life group. And I know many of you are interested in getting into a life group. So I want to invite you, if you've never been in a life group before, you want to join a new life group, come to the Circle Up event tonight. You should have received a form when you came in. Roz just mentioned that. Take that form, fill it out, and drop it off at the connections table. Come join us for the dinner tonight because we're going to grow together and we're believing for God to do some great things in our lives as we study this series together. If there was anything that Jesus was known for beside his teaching, beside his death and his resurrection, it was his miracle. Jesus was known as being a great miracle worker, wasn't he? And here's what the Apostle John said about Jesus' miracles in John chapter 21, verse 25. He said this, "If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have enough room for the books that would be written." Jesus was a great miracle worker. Now, let me say this about Jesus' miracles. They were more than just revelations of his divinity, of Jesus proving by his power that he was the Son of God, that he was divine. They were certainly that. There were certainly moments for people to wake up and realize that Jesus was the Son of God, fully human, fully God. But they were also signs that tell us what God is like. Jesus came to reveal to us what God the Father is like, right? If you want to know what God is like, look no further than Jesus Christ. When we read the scriptures, we encounter the full revelation of what God is like. And so Jesus's miracles, they're signs. They point to the character of God, to who God is. And here's what we learn as we look at his miracles. We learn that God is for us. God is for us. He's a God who has compassion for us. He's a God who wants to work in our lives. He's a God who wants us to experience salvation and healing and freedom and provision. And so in this series, we want to experience God's presence and his power in a special way. I want you to believe with me. We want to get the faith level up over the next few weeks. We want to get the expectation level up over the next few weeks. We want to believe for us to encounter God's presence in a special way, in a very real way, in our home, in our lives, in our life groups as we get together and pray for each other, okay? In our relationships, whatever your need is, come on, how many of you need God to work in your life? You want God to show up in your life? That's what we're believing for over the next few weeks. But here's what I want to say to you. Our number one goal is to know God better over the next 4 weeks, to know God better, to love him more. We want to get to know our Savior better. We don't just want the miracles of God. We want the God of the miracles. We want to have a closer relationship with him. So at the end of this next 4 weeks, we can say, God, we know you better. We know you in a greater way. Now, today, I want to talk to you about healing. The vast majority of Jesus's miracles were actually healing miracles. Let me ask you this question this morning. How many of you need to experience the healing touch of Jesus in your life? How many of you, there are many of you, how many of you have a family member or a friend, somebody you're praying for them and they need healing? This is very real for us. We just got a text message just this week from my sister-in-law, Jamie, that her mother was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of breast cancer. And we're praying. I just found out that my uncle had a stroke this past week. And so we have family members in our family. We're believing for them to experience healing. And I know many of you, like, you have needs like that. Some of you in this place, you've been battling some sickness, some illness for some time. You need the healing touch of Jesus in your life. Some of you got a bad report from the doctor recently, or somebody you love, a friend or family member or a coworker, is battling sickness. Some of you, you have a need for relational healing. You need a healing in some relationship in your family, maybe your marriage. I know there's several marriages we're praying for in our church right now. You need a healing touch of God in your heart. Some of you, there's forgiveness that needs to happen. There's somebody you need to forgive. Like, God wants to do like a healing work in your heart. For some of you, it's mental. You're struggling with anxiety and depression. It's so common these days. And you've been taking medication and seeing doctors. And like, you need the healing touch of Jesus in your life. Well, I have good news for you this morning, church. You're in the right place, because we believe that Jesus is in the healing business. We believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's a God who can heal. We believe in the power of prayer. And so we're going to talk about that today. We're going to be in Mark chapter 2 in just a moment. And we're going to look at just one of Jesus's healing miracles. There's so many we could look at. But let me just set this up for you. We're going to look at Jesus' healing ministry that took place in Galilee, in the region of Galilee, in the north of the Holy Land, around the Sea of Galilee. And Mark, in his gospel, each of the accounts, gospels is an account of Jesus' life. And Mark kind of presents Jesus as like this larger-than-life, like, action hero, because he just opens up and gets right into Jesus's like preaching and teaching ministry, his healing ministry. And so in Mark chapter 2, we see that crowds of people are coming out to see Jesus. And Jesus is preaching and he's teaching and he's revealing God in ways that nobody had ever known before. And he begins to heal people and set people free from like unclean spirits. And so that's kind of what's happening as we get to Mark chapter 2. Let's look at this. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. So here are all these people gathering to come and see Jesus. And in verse 1, it says, the people heard that he had come home. Come home to where? To this village of Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is one of the villages that I had the privilege of visiting when I went to the Holy Land in the fall on the study tour with my pastor and my dad. And we went to this ancient village. It was a fishing village right there on the Sea of Galilee. And so we got to, just as an amazing experience, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And we got to see the famous 4th century synagogue, which was actually built on top of the 1st century synagogue. The foundation underneath it was the very synagogue where Jesus would have gone to read the scriptures and would have taught, like, right there in Capernaum. And then we also got to see some of the ruins of the homes there where people lived. And we got to see the church. There's this spaceship-looking building right there in the picture. That's actually a church that's built over Peter's mother-in-law's house. This was the home of the Apostle Peter, Simon Peter. It's built there where we believe his home was. The archaeologists have found this. Just amazing. Amazing to see these sites. So Capernaum was home base for Jesus's ministry in Galilee. And so we don't read anywhere in the scriptures that Jesus had his own home. He most likely stayed in Peter's home when he was in Capernaum. In fact, in Mark chapter 1, we read how Jesus came home and he was in the home of Peter and his brother Andrew, who was also one of the disciples. And one of the very first miracles he did was to heal the apostle Peter's mother, his mother-in-law. It says that she was sick with a fever and Jesus healed her. And the scripture says she actually got up and she had strength right away and she began to wait on them. Now, my theory, this is not anywhere in the scriptures, I've never read this from the commentators, but my theory is that she was a really good cook and Jesus was hungry. And he was like, you get to move to the front of the healing line because I'm going to heal you because I want some of those meatballs that you make like right now. And she got up and she began to cook for them. Come on. Jesus was fully divine, but fully human. He was hungry. And so look at this. In verse 2, it says, they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. So all these crowds were pressing in. Now, this makes more sense when you see the size of the house. the archaeologists, they have unearthed the remains of Simon Peter's house, the Apostle Peter's house. There's a picture here. Now, this is underneath the church, but you get the picture here. In fact, I believe, according to archaeologists, it was approximately 600 square feet. So can you imagine like people crammed in to come and see like Jesus teach and preach, right? Six or seven people deep in every direction and overflowing out of the house. Everybody wanted to touch Jesus. Everybody wanted to see Jesus. Everybody wanted to hear Jesus. They wanted Jesus to do something for them, right? To heal somebody or to heal themselves. And so you can really get a picture there of people just overflowing from this ancient tiny house. And look at verses 3 and 4. It says, some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. So here are all these people trying to get to Jesus. Here are these four men. They have a friend who's paralyzed. Okay, we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us like what his condition was, what happened to him. All we know is that he was in a desperate situation and they needed to get him to Jesus. And there were crowds of people standing in their way. So they made their way up to the roof. Now, ancient homes in Palestine, in the Holy Land, were built of stone. So when you go to the Holy Land in every direction, you see like ruins of stone buildings. And so here's the thing. Jesus was as much a stone worker, a mason, as he was a carpenter. We traditionally think of Jesus being a carpenter because the original word in the Greek is translated to carpenter, but that word is tekton. Jesus was a craftsman. He was an artisan. He worked with stone and wood. And so we see homes built in every direction that were made of stone, but the roofs of those homes were thatch roofs. They were made of clay and straw. And so one of these guys gets the bright idea. We can't get into the house. Let's just break in through the roof. Aren't you thankful for friends like that? We're going to find a way. We're going to break in through the roof. So can you picture this? Like Jesus is teaching, right? You know, he's teaching and saying these lofty things about God the Father and all these things. And all of a sudden, like straw and clay begin to fall in the room, right? And you know, Peter, if you know anything about the Apostle Peter, he had a temper. I imagine he was like cursing and yelling and screaming like, you're ruining my roof. And here's this man being lowered down in front of Jesus, like on a mat, on a stretcher, by these four men who were willing to do whatever it took to get their friend in front of Jesus. And in fact, I mentioned before that there's this Catholic church that's built over the home. Well, there's a glass floor there where now you can actually look into the ruins of the home. Go ahead and put that picture up, guys. There's a picture. You can actually look down and get that view. Can you imagine like today you can look down and kind of get the view that they had as they lowered their friend down into this home. Come on, this is real. We're talking real places. We're talking real people. Like I want the words of Jesus, this story to come alive to you today, that Jesus, like he walked the face of the earth. He was in Capernaum. He's a real healer who's alive today. And then look at this. It says they were lowered down. These men lowered their friend down to Jesus. And look what it says in verse 5. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Notice that Jesus took care of his spiritual need first. Now, the Pharisees didn't like that. They were kind of like, who is this guy? Who does he think he is to have the authority to pronounce that this man's sins are forgiven? And they didn't know who Jesus was. He's the Son of God. He could heal. He can forgive sins. Skip down to verse 11 and 12. It says, he said this, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. So here's this amazing, amazing thing that happens. This man is lowered down in front of Jesus. He's moved by their faith. He pronounces that this man's sins are forgiven. The Pharisees are kind of like, you know, in fact, Jesus, it says that he read their mind. Like he knew what was going on inside of them. They were troubled by this. Like who does this man think he is that he can pronounce that sins are forgiven? Only God can forgive sins. What they didn't understand is he was the Son of God who had all power to not only heal people's bodies, but to forgive people of their sins. Here's what I want you to know today, church. Jesus has the power to heal every aspect of your life, spiritual, physical, emotional, whatever your need is. If you have faith to believe that he can forgive your sins, come on, let's have faith to believe that he can heal our lives. That's what we want to believe for today, that we can call on the name of Jesus when we need to experience healing in our lives. We can call on his name and believe for healing. We want to raise the faith level today. We want to raise the expectation level today that we can trust that God is a God who hears our prayers. He's a God of healing and that Jesus wants to heal us. And so let me give you four things that we learn about healing from this story. Four things I want to invite you to take some notes today. You can use the notes sheets that we gave you when you came in, or maybe you want to open up the Redemption app. There's a spot in the app where you can take notes. If you don't have the app, you can get it from our website. But four things we learn about healing from this story, just some simple takeaways. Here's the first thing. Number one, we all need stretcher bearers in our lives. Every one of us, we all need stretcher bearers in our lives. Here were these men who did for their friend what he couldn't do for himself. He was crippled. He couldn't get to Jesus himself. Here's the truth. We all need friends in our lives who will come around us, who will lift us up, who will pray for us, who will carry us to Jesus when we need healing, when we can't carry ourselves. Let me ask you this. Do you have friends like that in your life? I hope you have some friends like that in your life. Friends who will be stretcher bearers for you. Friends who will be there for you in your time of need. Friends who will carry you when you go through difficult seasons. Because things may be good right now, but we're all going to go through seasons of hurt and pain, aren't we? We're all going to go through seasons of sickness. Listen, we live in a fallen world. It's just the reality of living in this world. We're going to go through times of loss. We're going to go through times when we can't even carry ourselves to Jesus. We need somebody to bring us to him. We're going to have to rely on others. Do you have friends like that? And so you have to be intentional to cultivate friendships like that. You want to have friendships like that in place so when you go through a time of need, you have some people who can get around you, who can be in it with you. And if you've been through seasons like that and you've had some friends in it with you, you know how valuable it is, how invaluable it is to have friends like that in your life. And so that's why in our church, we talk so much about getting involved in a team or getting into a life group. You know, if you don't know where to start, get on a team and start serving on a Sunday morning once a month. Because what's going to happen is not only are you going to, you know, step out and God's going to use your life to bless somebody else, but you're going to make some friends and you're going to have some people who can encourage you, who know your name, who know your situation, who can pray for you when you need prayer. Get into a life group. If you haven't been to a life group in a while, get back into your life group as we start this series. Come to the Circle Up event, because what's going to happen is you're going to get some people in your life who can pray for you, who can encourage you, who can strengthen you. We've seen that in our life group this past year. We've been able to pray for each other. In fact, this year, it seemed like the prevailing need was we had some people in our group who needed a new job. And we prayed, and I can just tell you, over the course of this year, we've seen twice God provided a job that was needed, like an answer to prayer. Yeah, you ought to give God thanks. There's something about having people who can encourage you, who can lift you up and pray with you and believe with you. So I want to tell you this morning, church, that God wants to use us. He wants to work through us to bring healing to each other. Let me ask you this question. Like, who in your life needs you to be a stretcher bearer? Who needs you to be that person who can stand with them, who can lift them up and help pray for them and carry them to Jesus? And let me just tell you, here's the good news. Because sometimes we disqualify ourselves. Oh, pastor, I'm not spiritual enough. I don't know the Bible well enough. I haven't been in church long enough. We can kind of disqualify ourselves. I've got good news for you this morning. You don't have to have all the answers. You just have to point people to the healer. You just have to be somebody who can carry others in prayer and through encouraging words to Jesus. You don't have to have it all figured out. You'd be amazed at how God can work through your life. So that's the first point. We all need stretcher bearers in our lives. Here's the second thing. We have to tear down any barriers that keep us from getting closer to Jesus. Can't let any barriers stop us. We got to take stock of our lives and break down any barriers that are keeping us from being closer to Jesus. See, these men, they weren't about to let anybody stop them from getting to Jesus. They weren't going to let the crowd stop them. They weren't going to let a roof stop them. They weren't going to let anything stop them from getting their friend in front of Jesus. They were determined to bust through any barrier they had to get through. We got to get that same determination. Now, here's the point. The point isn't that we have to jump through all kinds of hoops to experience healing, okay? That's not the point. The point is that we can so easily allow barriers to come into our lives that keep us from getting close to Jesus. This can so easily happen in our lives because we want to stay close to him because he's the source of our healing. We want to stay close to the healer. And so barriers come in all different shapes and sizes. For some people, it can be a barrier of pride. You know, without even realizing it, there can be this sense of self-reliance. Like, I don't need God in that way. And, you know, I've got this under control. I can do this. I can work harder. I can push through this. That's wonderful. But sometimes we don't even realize that we have a barrier of pride operating in our lives. And it stops so many people from experiencing the healing touch of Jesus. We want to break that barrier down. Sometimes it's a barrier of offense. We get offended by some person, some other Christian. You know, we just kind of forget that they're not perfect. You know, they're made in the image of God, but they're a work in progress. And we get offended. And we have unforgiveness in our heart. It becomes like a spiritual heart blockage so that we can't receive fully the grace of God, the healing work that he wants to do in our lives, because we have this barrier of offense happening in us. can become a barrier to us. We've got to examine our hearts. Sometimes it's just a barrier of busyness. Come on, for most of us in this place, for most of us busy New Yorkers, the number one barrier in our life is we're just too busy. We don't even have time for God. We don't even have time to open our Bible or to pray. And without even realizing it, so quickly it can become a barrier for us. And we have to get this sense like, God, I have to stay connected to you. God, you're my healer. God, I've got to know your presence. God, I have to have a relationship with you. You got to come to this place where, God, I want to be close to you because you're the only one who can bring healing to my heart. You're the only one who can bring healing to my life. I've got to stay connected to Jesus, who's my healer. God, I've got to have you in my life. I've got to have a relationship with you. You're the one who can touch me. You're the one who can restore me, who can touch my body, my mind, my spirit. And so we got to push through. I want to just encourage you, take spiritual stock of your life and let's just be really honest with God about any barriers that are in our lives and let's push through them. Here's the third thing. We're just talking about some simple things that we see in this story. Number three, Jesus is moved by our faith. Jesus is moved by our faith. Look at verse 5. It says, when Jesus saw their faith. It's when they saw the faith of these tenacious four guys who weren't going to let anything stop them from getting in front of Jesus. They believed that Jesus could heal their friend, and they wanted to get their friend in front of Jesus. When he saw their faith, the interesting thing is he didn't even necessarily see the faith of the paralyzed man. That's not mentioned, but man, he was moved by the faith of his friends. And he was able to heal and to save this man. That's the moment when he was able to save and heal this man. And we see this all throughout Jesus' ministry. Wherever faith was present, wherever people had faith, Jesus was moved by their faith. Where faith was present, the healing power of Jesus was present. In fact, one of the saddest stories in the Bible is Jesus went to his own hometown of Nazareth, where he grew up as a child. And he wasn't able, the scripture says he wasn't able to perform many miracles there because people were too familiar with Jesus. Who is this Jesus? This is Mary and Joseph's son. Like, didn't we see him like play in the streets? Like, wasn't he his father's apprentice? Like, who does he think he is now? This great teacher, this great prophet, this great miracle worker. And because there wasn't faith in that town, he wasn't able to do much. Because Jesus is moved by our faith. Now, I know for many of you, this raises a question. Right? Like, how much faith do I have to have? Like, what's the perfect level of faith? I don't know. Jesus said, like, mustard seed. God could even work with mustard seed-sized faith. But there's this question of, like, how do I know I have the right amount of faith? Or let's just be honest. Here's the real question. If I prayed for someone and they didn't get healed, was my faith the problem? Because let's just be honest, in church this morning, we've all prayed for people, right, who were sick for years or maybe you lost somebody or somebody had cancer and you prayed for them and they didn't get healed and you were disappointed. And sometimes we're tempted to doubt God or we're tempted to doubt ourselves. Like, you know, was there something, if God's moved by my faith, was there a problem with my faith? And I want to just speak to that for just a moment because we want to be grounded and we want to be rooted and balanced here. Can I just give you two extremes to avoid when exercising your faith? Especially for believing for healing when it comes to healing prayer or believing for miracles. Let me give you just two extremes that we want to avoid, okay? You can write these down. Number one, here's the first one, expecting miracles on demand. That's one extreme, okay? We live in an on-demand culture, don't we? We want things our way, like right away, okay? And sometimes that can kind of seep into our faith and there's some kind of extreme teaching there that we can almost expect like miracles on demand. Can I just tell you this morning that God is not a genie in the bottle? Like, you don't rub the lamp, you know, and he comes out and he grants you three wishes. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes people can kind of begin to develop this idea that like, I can just name it and just claim it. I can just like, whatever I need. Can I just tell you that God doesn't always do everything that you want. And if you've walked with him long enough, you've discovered he certainly doesn't do it on your timetable. Anybody discovered that? I mean, I believe he's a God who can show up and he can heal and he can touch us instantaneously. And some of you have experienced that. And I've had seasons of life where I've experienced that. But quite often he works through a process, doesn't he? Doesn't always do things right away. And so, you know, if we're not careful, we can begin to expect like this miracles on demand. Like every time I go to the shopping mall and the parking lot is full, I can just pray, God, give me a parking spot. And like a light is going to shine from heaven and the perfect parking space is going to just open up right in front of the store, right? Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. So that's an extreme. But sometimes we can swing to the other side and not have faith for God to do anything. Here's the other extreme. The other extreme is believing that miracles only happen for special people. Sometimes we have like no faith because we don't believe like God can do anything in our lives today. And there are those who teach that, you know, that the healing power of God stopped with the apostles. They were the last ones who were able to work miracles. I don't know. I don't see that. The book of Acts just keeps going and miracles just keep happening. And we know that God is able to do that today. But some people believe that. And then some people believe that it's only like, you know, TV preachers who can heal people. Of course, if you just send them some money and buy their book, they'll heal you. There's some people who believe there's only certain TV pastors or great anointed men of God, pastors who can heal, or only the great, you know, saints throughout church history, Saint Francis of Assisi or whoever, you know, they're the ones who can work miracles, but that's not for ordinary people like us. That's an extreme one to avoid. Because you know what it leads us to? It leads us to praying like really powerless, like sissy prayers. Like, oh God, if you are able, if it's according to your will, God, would you please just heal this person? I don't know, God, if you're up there somewhere and you're available to do this, if it's your will, please heal this person. Can I tell you, if I'm sick, don't any of y'all pray like that for me, please. I'm not coming to you. If you pray like that, please. I can just tell you, if you come to me for prayer, and in fact, we're going to do this today. At the end of our service, you're going to have an opportunity to come for prayer. I'm going to believe that for God to touch your life. Like, I'm going to just root into the word of God. I'm going to believe that Jesus is a healer. I'm going to stand on the promise of James, the book of James that says, if somebody's sick, anoint them. Let's pray for them. And I'm going to believe that the prayer of the righteous will raise you up. I'm going to believe for you. That may happen instantaneously. It may be a process, but I'm going to believe for God's healing touch in your life, whatever it is, relationally, physically, mentally. Don't be praying sissy little prayers like that. Lord, have mercy. So let's avoid those two extremes, okay, and be grounded in the word of God. See, there's this sense sometimes that, you know, oh, God only does that for special people. No, all throughout the scriptures, all throughout the gospels, we see that Jesus was moved by people of ordinary faith, common people, everyday people, crazy guys who lowered their friends on a mat down to Jesus. He was moved by their faith. Widows, broken people. They were able to experience miracles because God is moved by our faith. Jesus is moved by our faith. You know, I could share some wonderful, like, you know, miracles today of like famous miracles, but I thought, let me just share a few from our own church because we've had some wonderful answers to prayer recently in our church. Now, just last week in our 9:30 service, Stefan and Tina Balog, some of you know Stefan and Tina, and Stefan's on our prayer team. They shared a wonderful answer to prayer of how God healed their baby during Tina's pregnancy. I guess about 2 years ago, about 13 weeks into Tina's pregnancy, she began to bleed and went and was afraid that she had lost the baby. Went to the doctors and she was diagnosed with a large hematoma. And the doctors told her she would most likely lose the baby. There would be a miscarriage. And so they began to pray. Several people in their life group and in our church began to pray. And I think early on, it was when I first met them, I had a chance to pray with them right here in church one day. And they went back to the doctor and the doctors kept saying, you know, by a certain amount of weeks, you're probably gonna lose the baby. And they just kept kind of hitting milestones. The baby was still alive and for these checkups. And the doctors literally said, like, this is by the grace of God. Like, not even knowing that they were Christians. Like, this is kind of a miracle happening here. And we just kept praying with them. And their life group was praying. And eventually the prognosis changed. It changed from miscarriage to the baby would most likely be born. And so we kept praying with them, and we weren't sure, like, was the baby going to be born premature? Was the baby going to be born healthy? And so we just kept praying. And I have good news for you this morning, church. Not only was the baby born healthy, but the baby was born full term, healthy. And last week we dedicated that baby, little Noemi Grace, here on a Sunday morning. If you're looking for a miracle, there's a picture of a miracle baby, like right there, an answer to healing prayer. Just this morning, I was talking to Jackie, who's out serving today on our guest services team. I was talking to Jackie. We prayed for her daughter, Michelle, her little one, Michelle, who was diagnosed with juvenile arthritis. And this precious little one was, you know, having pain and inflammation in her joints and her hands and her wrists, and got to the point where she was losing, like, movement in her wrists. And I remember Jackie coming to me for prayer, and we prayed, and coming back a few weeks and months later, and things had even gotten worse. And so we kept praying, we kept believing, and the prayer team prayed for her, and we anointed little Michelle with oil and prayed over her. And I was talking to Jackie today, and God has begun to do a healing work in her life. The pain began to go away, and the inflammation began to subside, and we kept praying. And she told me just today that they've gone to the doctor. Now she's beginning to get the movement back in her wrists. Come on, we ought to thank God. There's power in prayer. God is moved by, he's moved by our faith. And so I want your faith to be built today. We want the expectation level to rise in this room today and over the next few weeks to believe for God to show up in powerful ways in our lives. Here's the fourth thing, our fourth takeaway for today, and I'll end with this. Jesus heals us holistically. Four things we learn from this story. Jesus heals us holistically. That's a big buzzword in our culture today, right? Holistic medicine. Can I tell you, Jesus was the original inventor of holistic medicine? In verse 5, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. He dealt with his soul. He dealt with the spiritual need. Then he dealt with the physical need. Verse 11 and 12, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and he walked out in full view of them all, a walking miracle. Jesus was able to take care of every need that he had. For Jesus, it didn't matter whether you had sins, didn't matter whether you had a mental problem, didn't matter whether you had a physical problem. It was all the same for him. In fact, in the Gospels, the same word that's used for salvation is the same word used for healing. It's the word sozo. Healing and salvation, they were all the same thing for Jesus. See, Jesus understood that he came to a fallen, broken world and everything he was doing was an act of healing. Now, I want to say this to you today. It's not that every sickness is a direct result of a specific sin. In fact, there's another story in the Bible where Jesus helps us guard against that. Somebody brings a blind man to Jesus and say, who sinned, him or his parents? And Jesus said, neither. This happened so that you could see the power of God revealed, and he healed a man. The reality is our sickness is all a reflection, a result of the fallen world that we live in. We live in a world that's fallen under the curse of sin. See, God never designed your body for sickness. He never designed us for death. That he designed human beings for flourishing. The scripture says in Genesis, if you go back to the very beginning of the story, that you and I, we were made to flourish. We were made to be in God's image. But we know that the curse of sin entered this world, and along with it came sickness and death. So every time we see Jesus heal, either in the Gospels or in modern day times, it's him pushing back the curse of sin, in a sense. So you could put it this way, your sin is just spiritual sickness. At the end of the day, we all need the same thing. We need a healer. We need the one who can heal us holistically, body, mind, soul, spirit, emotions, your heart. I got good news for you this morning. Jesus is the originator of holistic healing. He can touch every aspect of your life today. Whatever your need is, he can do that in your life. I can tell you the greatest healing you'll ever experience is salvation, the saving of your soul. It's a work of healing. It's a work of restoration and healing between you and God the Father. Jesus Christ literally makes a way for your relationship to be restored and healed between you and God the Father. The greatest miracle you'll ever experience is the saving of your soul. It's the cure of spiritual sickness. And many of you have experienced that. Some of you need to experience that today. And so this morning, as we prepare to come to a time of prayer together this morning, I want to just say this. When it comes to healing, we want to know what God is like. We look no further than the person of Jesus Christ. Can God still do that today? You know, is God still a miracle working God? Well, here's what we know from the Gospels. Jesus is able. He's certainly able. Jesus is willing. And Jesus is moved by compassion. He's got compassion for us. And I think that's so important because this is difficult. We go through difficult times, don't we, sometimes? Where we don't understand, like, God, where are you? Like, God, what's going on? God, I've been praying for this person. I don't understand why things are getting worse. And sometimes we have this sense of, like, God, do you even care? If we're just honest, right? Like, God, are you there? Like, God, do you even care? But here's what I want to tell you today. If you're hurting today, if you have a need in your life, if there's a need for healing, something's broken in your life, I want to tell you today, Jesus sees you. He sees you. God the Father, he sees you. He's moved by your faith. He's got compassion for you. Everywhere we read in the gospel, so many times Jesus was moved by compassion. Broken people came to him, just desperate, had nowhere else to go, came to him and said, Jesus, like, if you don't touch my life, have nowhere left to go. And he was moved by compassion, and his compassion led to healing. I want to tell you, if you don't know anything else, he's a God of compassion. He loves you. He sees you. He cares for you. And we want you to know, as a church, we care for you too. We're going to stand with you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to believe with you, no matter how long it takes. Because we believe that he's a God of compassion. And so today, we're going to pray and trust God with you today. I want to encourage you to step out today and believe by faith that God can answer healing prayer. And so we're going to do something a little bit different in just a moment. We're going to open up the service for a time of prayer. Our worship team is going to come, and we're going to have a little extended worship time. And I want to invite our prayer team to come at this time. And we've done this over the past few months. We've taken a Sunday here or there to have a time of extended prayer. And today we want to have a special focus on healing. And so I want to invite our pastors who are available and our team members to come. Just come make your way down across the front here. And here's what's going to happen. When you come down, okay, if we don't know your name, we're going to ask you what your name is and what your need is, whatever it might be. Maybe it's spiritual. Maybe today it is salvation. Maybe to recommit your life to Christ. Maybe it's a physical need. There's a you need a physical touch in your body, or somebody that you love needs healing. Maybe it's a healing in your heart. Maybe it's your emotions. Maybe it's for a relationship. Maybe it's for your marriage. Maybe it's for your mind. Maybe it's for some addiction, some area where you need freedom. We're going to pray for you today. I'm going to pray for you. And for those of you who would like to be anointed, okay, with oil, Pastor Jim and I are available to do that. You ask us, or if you have a physical need, we're going to ask you, can we anoint you with oil? If you're okay with that, we're going to anoint you. We're going to lay a hand on you and pray for you. We're going to believe God to touch you. Now, some of you, you may begin to experience today a sense that like God is bringing healing to your life. Some of you have experienced that in worship before. Not even in a moment like this where we prayed for you. You were just worshiping and you begin to feel God heal your heart. Have you experienced that before? Some of you, you may have a sense of that, like that God's beginning, there's freedom that's gonna come. There's healing that's gonna come. Some of you, it's gonna be a process. And that's okay. We're here to pray for you. Every Sunday after service, our prayer team's available. So we're gonna pray for you today, but we're gonna be here next week and the week after that. And we're going to stand with you and believe with you. But I want us to believe today. I want us to know that Jesus is able, he's willing, and he's moved by compassion. And we believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So stand with me to your feet today. I want to just pray. And then we want to invite you down in just a moment to come down. As our prayer team is available to pray with you this morning, okay? Stand with us. We're going to just pray over you today. Father, we thank you today that you are a God of love. Lord, we thank you that you're a miracle working God. We thank you that Jesus, you're not only our Savior, but you are our healer. And we thank you that you are moved by compassion. God, I believe right now in this room, there are people who are hurting. There are needs, all kind of needs in this place, God. All kind of needs in this place. People have needs in their families. People have needs in their relationships, their marriage, God, in their body, in their mind. God, we have some people today who feel spiritually sick in this place. God, we thank you that today you are able and you are willing and you are moved today by compassion for the needs of your people today. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning the faith level would rise in this room, that we would believe that you're a God who can touch our lives. You're a God who can answer prayers for healing today. And so we just speak healing over this congregation today. We believe for you to do great things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.